This weekend, we are continuing our series on a healthy community. What does it look like to be a healthy community? And today, we're going to talk about a healthy community is one that experiences God. And we're going to find that a healthy community can experience God. We can do this when we discover, only when we discover what God's priorities, what His goals, what His plans, what His agenda is, and get on board with that. Now, admittedly, for some of you, this might be a strange question. Even the idea of, you know, experiencing God might seem kind of bizarre. But we're very familiar with the idea of experience things in community. Think of sports events, right? And when the touchdown sign goes on, or the goal light turns on, and we turn around and jump out, and, you know, high five people next to us, chest bump, you know, hug total strangers. Maybe not the hug piece, right? We're like, yeah, we did it. You know, like we had anything to do with, you know, the team scoring a touchdown. Or we could think of like bands, right? Grateful Dead, like Deadheads that have like a cult following. Widespread Panic fans. Any other former or current Kiss Army members here, right? So we know this community thing, experiencing these things in community. And we've also had the opposite experience of experiencing things that like aren't so good when everyone had their own agenda, like that family car trip or maybe a work team at work or a vacation where everyone kind of wanted to do their own little thing and the group suffered because of it. A number of years ago, I went on a camping trip with a group of friends down to southeastern Minnesota. It was a biking trip. It was a biking, rock climbing, fishing trip. We ended up going to a state park that had one of my favorite trout streams in it. And it was middle of June, and it was just cosmic, absolutely perfect fishing conditions. Now, to the bike guys, this was a bike trip. And I assume there was a bike there for me. I wasn't much of a biker then. But when we got there and I saw the fishing contingent or the fishing conditions, I was like all over that. And soon there started to be a little bit of tension in the group between the biking contingent and the two of us that are having the best trout fishing of our lives. And one day I even, you know, stripped off my waders and went with them on one of their, you know, 100-mile bike trips, you know, to be part of the group, you know. We went rock climbing one afternoon, and, you know, it's kind of important to set aside your personal grudges and when you're trusting someone dangling off a limestone cliff. But eventually, tensions kept building until finally we kind of had it out around the campfire one night, you know, and things came out about the agenda and the finances and the trip itinerary and the quality of the food and, you know, who got to do whatever. And we'd soon realize that we all had very different plans. We had very different expectations and agendas for this trip, and it could have gone much better had we made that out ahead of time. So, ever had one of those experiences? That family vacation, the car trip with friends, or even a night out with your spouse and you had very different expectations or very different agendas as far as what was going to happen? We know this. No group of people, no sports team, no project team at work, no group can get very far if they have a different agenda, a different goal, or a different mission. So we're going to explore one big idea today. And that is this: a healthy community join God in His mission? I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here this weekend and how you've moved among us. And we thank you for that amazing worship. We thank you for this privilege of joining you in your mission, and we thank you, ask that you would come even more with your presence upon us now. We pray too, Lord, that you would get your will in this community, and let this be a place and let this be a time when your will be done. Amen. You can turn to the Bible, if you will, or open up your Bible Gateway app or whatever you have. If you find there's a Bible in the chair, in the rack in front of you, Some of you younger guys might be amazed to find that the Bible is now available in print version. It's kind of nice, yeah. We do that as a convenience for you. And we turn to Luke chapter 9, we read this. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then a bit farther down in verse 6. So they departed and went out through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, just before this, Luke tells us in chapter 8, Jesus had just performed four big miracles: calming a storm, healing a demon-possessed man, raising a dead girl, and healing a sick woman. Not a bad week at the office. And we can imagine the disciples at this point, they're just as astounded by this as the crowds. Nobody in their history has ministered with this kind of power, instantly commanding demons to leave a person, restoring a dead person. No one has seen this. And the disciples, you can see they're just trying to get their brains wrapped around this thing. Is who is this guy? What is going on? And then more astounding, he turns to them and says, I'm going to give you authority and power to do the stuff that you've seen me do. And then he sends them out to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Can you imagine? Have you ever been given what seems like an impossible task at work or school? An impossible job? There's like no way I can get this done with the resources that I have, under the time that I have. It can't be done. Talk about mission impossible, what the disciples were given. Or was it? So first, if we start talking about this mission, we need to be clear on exactly what this mission is. What is it that we are called to do? And we see that here in Luke, Jesus is teaching and modeling for his disciples exactly what the mission is. It's this, quite simply, preaching or giving the words of the kingdom of God and doing the works of the kingdom of God. And first, it's just when the gospel writers tell us Jesus, they show us him doing all, preaching the words of the kingdom and doing these works. And like I said, the disciples are completely clueless. They have no idea what's going on. They're asking these ridiculous questions, making total fools out of themselves. They don't get it. Jesus has to take them aside afterwards and explain in detail the parables. And they still are just like, so are you saying that? And Jesus, really? You know, even at the end of the story, they're still asking stupid questions. They haven't all got it. They're in this process of learning. They're in this process of discipleship. And the gospel writers take no pains to show us what idiots these guys were in the beginning as they're learning and growing and going through this process. Can you imagine the campfire discussions these guys had after a day of ministry with Jesus? Sitting around, did you see what he did today? You know, trying to talk kind of a low tone so he doesn't hear them, you know? The thing with he spit in the mud and put it on that guy's eye, and then that guy, you know, blind guy saw, and, you know, he talked to a woman in public and healed her. This had never been done before. And Jesus, what you guys talking over there? Oh, nothing, we're good. Never mind, Jesus, you know, how's your fish? You know, we're good. But we see this pattern of training, of commissioning, and of sending repeated over and over again in the New Testament. It starts with the 12. A few chapters later, in Luke 10, there's 70 that are sent out. There's 120 that are given this mission in Acts 1:5. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that there was 500 that witnessed the resurrection and that were given the Great Commission that we were told about in Matthew 28. And the church at Pentecost, there was over 3,000 that heard that message. So this evangelizing, equipping, sending model continues over and over again through Acts as the disciples, now they're finally starting to get it, right? They're not asking the stupid questions anymore. They're starting to practice this on their own, and they're starting to, in turn, turn this ministry over to others. And the whole church, it's not just the disciples we see, the whole church is conscripted into this mission. How is that possible? We see the answer is partially given to us back in Luke 9. He gave them authority and power over all demons and to cure diseases. That was the key. That is was the key for the 12. That was the key for the 70. That was the key for the 500. And that's a key for us today. Us have been given authority and power to do the very same works of Jesus and to bring the words of Jesus in our lives today. In the vineyard, we call that everybody gets to play. It's not just for Michael. It's not just for Brenda or Casey or John or the pastors to like do the stuff, do the work. It's for all of us. We all get to play with this. We all get to experiment and learn and move in these gifts of the Spirit. All of us are to be word workers. Because doing the works without giving the words is not enough. Now, serving people, shoveling your neighbor's driveway, or whoever the guy is in my neighborhood that plows into my driveway, I'm not sure who it is. Thank you, whoever you are. I'm never there to see it, but it happens. I come home, it's like either a miracle or somebody is doing it. Serving the poor, handing out things, being nice to people, that's great. Keep doing that as God leads you to do that. But that alone, without the words, is not enough. It's only half of the equation. The words of the kingdom are telling the story of Jesus, about his life, his death, his resurrection, and how his story has intersected with our story and how we've been changed. It's how we have only found life and abundance and joy in his story. And the works of the kingdom, like I said, could be many, many different things. Praying for people for healing, which we're going to do in a little bit here. Praying for the release of demonic influences. Serving the poor. Loving on people. Giving our time. Giving our energy. Our resources. So if that's the mission, what is it that we mean when God gets his way? See, God gets his way this. When the church follows that pattern of discipleship and building his kingdom, not our little kingdoms, right? A healthy church is not a place where everybody has to do Doug's kingdom. That'd be nice for Doug for a while, right? But that's not healthy. A healthy church is when we all set aside our personal agendas and contribute to building God's kingdom. Some of you have probably heard the Lord's Prayer. Or if you've heard it in church, grew up in church, or maybe you've seen it on a plaque in grandmother's house or something. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. If you've been around the church at all, I'm sure you've heard this one or recited it or whatever. And it's probably the best known prayer in the world other than the Jesus take the wheel prayer, right? And most of us are familiar with the give us our daily bread and lead us not into temptation and forgive us our debts, yada, 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 that bit. But we often skip over those first verses. Your will be done on earth as it is currently done in heaven. In the vineyard, we call that the kingdom prayer because it basically shows us what Jesus' priorities were, what was most important to him. And apparently what was most important to him was this, that his Father's will, which is being done perfectly in the realm of heaven, becomes done here on earth. That's why in the vineyard we talk about this kingdom of God thing as being both already and not yet. It came in the ministry of Jesus, but it's not yet complete. What that means is there's a gap between the realms where God gets his way. So even though here we pray with authority and we've been given authority and power by Jesus, only God can heal. Doug can't heal. Only God can deliver. Doug can't deliver. Whatever happens here, only God's power allows that to happen. We live in this very real, very hard sometimes tension of being caught between the times and sometime in the future when God's will here on earth will be perfectly made. We're not there yet. Watch the news, right? Watch the news, follow any kind of blog, keep your eyes open, listen to people. Clearly, God's will is not happening perfectly here on earth right now, right? It looks like chaos. But in heaven right now, it is. And at some point, that will be made perfectly here on earth as well. And that's, some time ago, a pastor put it this way. You guys have seen Saving Private Ryan, right? Movie set in World War II, Allied invasion of Normandy. This pastor spoke of this as that is once the Allied invasion was successful and the Allies had established a beachhead in Omaha and Utah and the other beaches and had pushed the German defenders back off of that, the Third Reich and Hitler's doom was pretty much sealed. In some ways, the war was over. Once that peace was done, once that was successful, now, it took a full 11 more months for the war to continue and the final victory in Europe to happen. And in that 11 months, there were more Allied casualties than there had been at any point the previous 4 years of the war. That's kind of where we're at now. Just like Hitler and the Nazis invaded France and the other countries and had to be beaten back. So Satan and his forces have invaded God's good creation to kill and destroy and to tear up down. And we, us, you, the church, we're part of this counterattack, coming here to take territory back that is rightfully God's. We know that from the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that ultimately, our victory is assured. However, until that day, when God gets his way done perfectly here, we have a real enemy to fight, and there are going to be casualties. That is this already, not yet, of the kingdom. Many times we're tempted to collapse to one tension or the other when life gets hard, right? Sometimes we want to go over this to this kingdom now that it's all here and we want to live in everything we touch is a miracle and God is moving in every kind of thing and we just live in this constant victory and everything is just going great. And there's a tendency to try to swing over and try to, through our own force, make that happen. And there's also this temptation to swing over to this side of the too far over to the not yet. And just think that really nothing really changed. And who can do anything? Who can do anything about sex trafficking and the global sex trafficking? Who can do anything really about modern day slavery or wars or all this stuff? I mean, it's just too big. What can little old me do? And this, if we get too far over this side, we tend to be in a place of just kind of fatalism and giving up. But in the vineyard, we're trying to be right here, knowing that this is a real thing that we're in a fight and we're going to see casualties, but at the same time knowing our victory is assured and we're looking forward to that, knowing that someday God is going to make everything all right. It's hard. It's hard to live in this tension. But the key to serving God is to live here. You know, welcome to a church that lives, it is committed to live in the middle of this tension. We're not going to try to resolve this one way or the other because this is biblically, this is reality where God tells us we're living. So our job becomes this, to cooperate with him in building that kingdom, to join him in this mission of rebuilding this world, restoring creation, and bringing lost people to know him. Why? So his realm expands, not Doug's little realm. So his kingdom expands. So his glory grows from heaven to earth. So if that's all true, what can little old me do about it, right? What can I do to help God get his way? In the vineyard now, you'll start hearing us talk about this EDLD thing, evangelism, discipleship, leadership, diversity, and do it again. You see, you might not know this, but here at this community, we've had a ton of people come here and get trained, learn how to lead, practice, fail big time, get up again, try again, lead some more. And in many cases, these people came here from places of really hurt, big hurt, disappointment. They've been burned by churches. They've been burned by other people. This is their last resort. But they've got prayed for. They've got healed, restored. They begin to lead little things, learn some more. We're open to discipleship. We're open to correction. Took more risks, led bigger things, and now we're taking really big risks for the kingdom of God. Our most recent example, some of you might know Chris and Nikki Sauter, who just recently went out with a group of folks from this church to plant a vineyard in Cloquet. Chris and Nikki came to this church as a mess. But they trusted God, they got prayer, they kept working on things, they learned to lead, they developed their life, they developed their relationship, and now they're taking a really huge risk for God. You see, the key thing here is not just talking about it, but we actually have to do it. I grew up in the church. I knew all these stories about Jesus and the disciples doing all those stuff. I could recite them to you verbatim, backwards and forwards. I knew all about it. I knew all this theology, all that stuff. But that's all they were to me. They were just stories. Stories of stuff that someone else did a long time ago. It never occurred to me, and I was never challenged or taught this, that I could do these same things that they did, that I could enter into this as well. Now, I thought I had some pretty good reasons for that. It turns out I was just kind of being silly and really, in some ways, almost disobedient. It's like this. Let's say that I tell you that I'm into skydiving. And you're like, wow, that is so cool. I've always wanted to do that. You come over to my place and I show you my cool skydiving stuff, you know. I've got all of my skydiving books and my skydiving DVDs and here's my equipment and here's, you know, my suits and my parachute and my awesome glasses that make me look like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly, you know. And you're like, wow, that is so cool. I've always wanted to do that. What's it like? And if I say to you, are you nuts? I'm not jumping out of no plane. I'm terrified of heights. I'm into skydiving. I'm just not into skydiving that much. Now you would probably say to me, you're not really a skydiver. You might know a lot about it. You might have all the stuff, the gear, the equipment. And I say, yeah, but here, you know, here's my dudes at my skydiving club. You know, here's Stone and Misty and Cloud, you know, and Hawk. And like, but you're not a skydiver because that means that you actually like dive from the sky, you know, in order to be a skydiver. And it's the same way that we have with experiencing God. We can have all the books, we can have all the knowledge, we can go to the God club, hang out with all the God people, you know, drink good coffee and kind of talk about the God stuff. But it's only by taking risks, actually putting our faith to work and doing the God stuff that we can really say that we're disciples of Jesus. I don't know a whole lot about skydiving. So if you are a skydiver, you know, forgive my ignorance, all right? I do know a pretty important part of skydiving is the parachute piece, right? Now, I have some cousins who were in the 82nd Airborne, and they jumped out a lot of planes. Do you know that when airborne troops, when they're in training and they start out, they don't get to pack their own parachute? They have a parachute rigger that does that for them, that are specially trained to do that. The dude who jumps out of a plane, he's got to trust that the rigger did his job right. And sometimes stepping out in faith, it's a little like that. It's a little like having to go skydiving without being able to pack our own parachute. God is the one who packs the chute. And our job is to trust him that there's a working chute back there that's big enough, the ropes are untangled, that's packed correctly, and that's going to open and catch us when we jump. So, we are going to do a little skydiving this morning. It's going to look like this. We're going to see if we have a working parachute or not. We do this once in a while here. If you're visiting here, and this is what we're doing here in a minute, is really strange to you. Just want to lay it out there that you can participate or not to the degree that you're comfortable. But what we're going to do is this. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and then I'm going to ask you guys to do something bold. We're going to take some time to pray for physical healing. And if you have something going on physically with you that you would like prayer for, I would like you to stand up. Then I'm going to ask other people to come around you and pray for you. This is going to be a really short exercise because we don't have a ton of time to do this. So if you're a prayer, you don't have to get like a whole medical, you know, history of them. You know, so it's, you don't have to go into the, so tell me about when you're 12 and you fell off your bike, you know, or, you know, we don't have time to do that here now, but I'm going to ask you to pray in a real specific way. If you just ask the person if they're okay with it, put their hand on them and just pray that God's kingdom would come and that they would be healed for whatever is going on. That's all. That's all. And the other thing is, when we go through prayer ministry training and stuff here, we never pray, oh God, if it would be your will, please heal my dear brother or sister. It's always God's will to heal, okay? It's like, if I'm a good father and my son asks me for a fly rod for Christmas, I don't have to stop and consider, well, gee, is it my will to bless my son or not? You know, I don't know, self. God is always willing to bless. Sometimes it's our willingness to participate. So, here's what we're going to do. If you have something that you feel like you want prayer for, something going on physically that you would like healing for, I ask you to stand up now where you are. And then if you could just raise your hand, because once people start moving around, sometimes it's confusing to figure out who's a prayee and who's a prayer. And then if you're around someone with their hand raised and you feel comfortable doing this, just gather around them right now. I'll give you a few minutes to just sort of reassemble, and you can go find someone that's standing with their hair and hand up. And we'll just take just a couple minutes to pray for them. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just come again in power. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your willingness to bless us and your presence here. We ask you would bring your healing and all of these people that are asking for it, Lord, that you would bring your power, come with your power and your authority, Lord. We ask you to heal and touch whatever is going on. Come, Holy Spirit. So if you're praying, you can just pray quickly for a person, figure out what is the need prayer for. Do a quick prayer. And we'll just wait a few minutes. We'll wait a minute or so for this to happen. And so as we do this, there's really only three things that can happen. First, person is healed completely for whatever is going on. All right? If that happens, if that person says that and that happens, you're done. Nice job. You're done praying. Way to go, God. Woohoo, right? Secondly, they could feel like there's an improvement, but it's not totally gone. If that's the case, you can keep praying for them for another bit. Or third, nothing seems to happen at all. And if that's the case, we'll ask you to pray one more time for that. Go about another minute or so, a little bit more. And then we're done, I'll do a little survey and just see if we can figure out what happened, if, you know, how God showed up today and what we experienced. And then when you're done praying, for a few of you have prayed for someone, you can find your way back to your seats, and then we'll ask the prayer-ee to give us any kind of report. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your healing among us. Bring your blessing upon us now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we've done this a number of times here in the church, and there's almost always someone that's really dramatically touched by the presence of God. And just as often, we have people that are not, don't really feel that anything changed, anything happened. And you know what? We're okay with that. That's what we do. We're not going to fake. We're not going to pretend. We're not going to claim something that didn't happen. You know, we're not going to put it out on our website. You know, had 37 people stand up and were healed this morning. Well, okay, it was three people. And, you know, we're not at all interested in that. This isn't our reputation on the line. It's not my reputation on the line. It's God's reputation. He gets the glory, and it's up to him to do it. So of those of you that got prayer this morning, does anyone feel that whatever it was they were asking prayer for, that they felt a noticeable change in what they got prayer for? Would you care to share just quickly what happened?
I asked for prayer to be more in tune with Jesus.
Okay.
And I feel different now. I feel more like God has touched me in a way that I found in.
Wonderful. Great. She got asked, if you didn't hear that, she said she got prayer to feel more in touch with Jesus, and she had prayer, and she feels that deeper sense of God's presence.
Yes.
Now, right. Anybody else that felt like anything? Yeah.
Yeah, I had a headache.
Yeah.
In the back of my neck, it was real stiff. The headache is gone, but the stiffness is a lot less.
Okay.
But real warm.
All right, good. So he had a headache, stiffness in neck, got prayer, the headache is completely gone, and the neck stiffness seems to be better. If we had time, we could probably go through all of this. And just encouragement for those of you who, you know, didn't feel like they received anything, keep pursuing it, keep getting prayer. We have no magic formula. All we got is Jesus, okay? And that's all we can keep offering you is his love and his power. And sometimes we see repeated times, the more times you get prayer, there does seem to be help make a difference. If you have experienced something today, you'll find this little form out in the lobby. It's a sharing our story. We'd love to hear about it. Or maybe you've experienced something in a small group or other place this week where you've received prayer. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to see what God's doing in your life, because we've collected these things in this. If you haven't seen this, Stories of Hope. This is pretty amazing. Stories of how God has touched and changed people's lives in our community. Everything from physical healing to diagnoses that were improved to families being restored, marriages being restored, folks coming from really hurt, broken places, that this is like their last chance in finding hope and healing and restoration. And the vineyard we call what we just did being naturally supernatural. That is, you see, we didn't have to like psych ourselves up. I'm not wearing like a gold sequin suit, you know? Didn't have to have my hair done. Didn't have to talk in any special way. We're just naturally low hype, no key, asking God to come and do his stuff and getting us kind of out of the way, right? Naturally, supernatural. And this is something we can do anywhere. In our workplace, in the streets, at our home. We don't have to be at the God place, you know, where all the God people are to do it. Naturally, supernatural. It's a way that we see healing rolling and prayer restoration rolling through this community. So maybe you've heard John Kluwer, you know, say here at the Vineyard, you know, we're crazier than we think you are. Then we're crazier than you think we are. Yeah, that's it. We are crazier than you think we are. There we go. Got it. And if that's not proof of that, right? I don't know what is. What we're crazy about is this. We're crazy about joining God in this mission, because we think that Jesus is still in the healing business today. So we create spaces all the time for God to show up, for him to get his way. And we speak about healing and deliverance and restoration, prophecy, faith here as gifts. The Bible speaks of them as gifts. They're not awards. They're not titles. They're not duties. They're gifts. Because the Holy Spirit is the sovereign gift giver. He offers us his presence and his power, but we can choose to accept that gift or not. And we see an example of this, for instance, when we go out in our street team ministries, or we do like our summer event, Free for Five, where we give away hot chocolate, we give away soup or coffee or pop in the summer. We offer people a drink or, you know, hot dog or whatever for free. And most people respond with, wow, thanks, that's really cool. Or hot, as the case may be, right? But there's always somebody, there's always some people who say, hey, man, would you like a cup of hot chocolate down in front of Holiday Center and Superior Street? And they're like, no, man, I'm good. Hey, sure, it's free. It's just a cup of hot chocolate. You know, if you want, we can dump a little Sanka in there, you know, give you a little shot of caffeine. No, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm good. For whatever reason, they don't accept the free gift we're offering them. And before I became comfortable with this, the gifts of the Spirit, that's a little how I was, right? God was offering me these amazing gifts to bless people, to extend his kingdom. And I was kind of like, no, thank you, sir. Really, I'm good. You know, I got this. You know, I appreciate the offer, but frankly, you know, I wouldn't know what to do with it. You know, you could give those things to someone who could appreciate it, like a Pentecostal or somebody, you know. It was like trying to give grandma a Surface Pro, you know. But the Lord is so good to us, isn't he? I mean, in time, when I was ready for it, and when I was mature, and in some ways desperate enough, the Lord put me in places and circumstances where suddenly I began to see, and I was able to accept and work in these gifts, and my life has never been the same. See, the Holy Spirit offers us his presence, but it's up to us whether or not we choose to accept and connect with that. Because how we experience God in a community and individually is much of the time kind of up to what risks we are willing to take, what steps of faith we are willing to go, what risks we're going to do, how we want God, open our lives up for God to work. John Wimber, who was the founder of the Vineyard, used to say this: faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. We're about done here. But in short, you know, the pastors, the leaders, the folks committed to this place, we're not the least bit interested in playing church or putting on a show or just talking about God in a way that never really affects our lives. See, if all we are about is just coming here and chilling and drinking coffee, hearing some good music, right? A nice encouraging talk, maybe, and getting some nice swag from the bookstore. If that's it, we might as well just shut her down. What's the point? Frankly, for myself, if that's all there is to it, I'd rather go fishing because I know I can meet God doing that. And I don't need to take a shower to do that, right? But I've found this: the most exciting, the most fulfilling, the most challenging life possible can only be found in joining God and joining this mission. See, most of us here, we've done that whole playing church thing someplace in the past. And it's very much, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, tweeted, Instagrammed about it. No thanks, right? I'm ready for some real life and seeing some real transformation and some real power of God moving in the community. That's what's brought us here. God is on a mission to transform this world through his love, and he's offering me, you, us an opportunity to join him. Now, if this interests you at all, if you want to experience God like this, participate in God getting his way, you can join him in this mission by taking a few risks. There's a few ways you can get started. First, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but do you know that the Holy Spirit only comes in one size? and it's God-sized. And downstairs every week in Vineyard Kids, we see that God-sized Holy Spirit touch and move on kids' lives. We see kids pray for each other and get healed. If you're at all interested in seeing God move and really God change and move in kids' lives, Vineyard Kids is a great place to start. Check out, talk to one of the Vineyard Kids leaders and ask them about what they need help with, what volunteer opportunities there might be for you. And second, you can come up here when we go into prayer ministry time. Now, some of you I know have never done this, and this might just seem really bizarre and really strange to you, right? I know when I first saw this, I was like, would someone do this in church? I was like, you have got to be kidding me. There's no way anyone's going to go up to the front. This guy, I felt sorry for the guy who was like me now on stage, right? It's, oh, this poor guy, he's fighting these people and no one's going to come up. It's going to be embarrassing, you know. Maybe afterwards I should go a few, say, encouraging words to him because it's such a disaster. Lo and behold, people got up and came forward. And I was like, no way. What a bunch of, what are they doing? Now not only are they messed up, everybody knows about it, right? And men, they're up here asking for prayer and help. You kidding me? And crying in public? This is bad news. There's no way you're ever getting me up there. Yeah. Well, guess what? When I finally set aside my pride, when I finally set aside my own self-dependence, and when God brought me to a place where I really needed prayer and ministry and was open to that, I found myself up to the front. Even though I was a complete mess, God met me that way in a profound way that I'd never experienced before, and I've never been the same since. That's what happens every week up here in prayer ministry time. The folks up here are trained to do this. They're not going to shame you. They're not going to make fun of you, obviously, right? They're not going to put you down. They're not going to condemn you. They're not going to do any of that. They just want Jesus to be a part of your life. They just want Jesus the best for you, okay? So my encouragement is to come up here in the front. And as you heard in the announcements today, Brenda is teaching a class coming up March 15th called Learning to Pray Like Jesus. This class is not just for small group leaders or prayer ministry team members or just a special few. It's for all of us. It's for everyone. Remember that everybody gets to play thing? This class will help you understand what we mean by that. In this class, we're able to unpack the theology and some of the scripture and some practice that how we do it, how the people up here, why they pray the way they do, and why we pray for healing the way we do, and why we do this in the Vineyard. If that is at all interest to you, check that class out March 15th. Why don't you stand up? You know that in ministry time that Michael and Brenda and the pastors of the church, they watch the leaders, the folks that they've identified as leaders in the church. And you know what they watch for? They don't necessarily pay attention to how often the leaders come up here and participate in prayer ministry time. What they watch is how often their leaders come up and get prayer themselves. Because it's for all of us. And all of us have to come to the point of continually seeking God, continually laying our stuff out for God and asking for healing and asking for hope and restoration. If that is all, if you've never done prayer ministry team, you guys, if you're here, guys and gals, prayer ministry folks, you can start coming to the front. If you've never done that before, if you've never asked someone to pray for you in that way in church or other things, I just ask you to come up the front. Give it a try here. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard today. God bless you, and we hope you have a great week. And we'll see you next time. And we'll see you tonight at UMD for Unchained.